Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and for those of you who are out there hunting, what are you hunting? Well, maybe it's that special person that you want to have in your life. So you're armed, you're ready, and you're saying, I'm ready to go, but what do you need? Well, maybe you need a matchmaker. That's who we're going to be talking with today. We're going to be talking with Marla Martinson, who is down in California. Marla, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. Hello.
Hello. Well, you are a professional matchmaker, but I think your story about becoming one is fun. And it reminds me of the song in Fiddler on the Roof, matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. And I think of that poor girl in that thing, and I go, Lord, what she went through with that matchmaker. My husband performed in the play. He was a rabbi and the matchmaker in a performance here in our local area. So we have a special spot in our heart for Fiddler on the Roof. But it absolutely, when I think of that movie and all the portrayals that have been done about the matchmaker and the woman trying to find this for the family, and this has been going on in just about every culture on the planet, there seems to always be that person in the role. But you've got to share your story as to how you got into it.
Well, I think it was just meant to be. It was very interesting, and it's right. I mean, this is not a new profession. It's been going on forever, but it seems like in our modern day it is kind of new. It's kind of reemerged. When I first got into the business about 7 or 8 years ago, I hadn't heard of any matchmakers around. People were always, you know, shocked when they heard what I did. They're like, oh, I never even heard of that. Now it's so mainstream. There's reality shows about it, and more matchmakers are popping up. So I got in, you know, I think at a good time, and I was an actress I grew up in Federal Way, Washington, and when I was 18, I moved to Hollywood because I wanted to be a movie star, and came down here, did TV commercials and print work, and worked in restaurants. I even married a chef later on in my 20s, and we opened a restaurant in Chicago, and did all that, but I always kept the acting going. But I said, you know, when I was 39, I said, I'm not going to be a 40-year-old waitress. I can't do it anymore. I'm sick of the restaurant business, and I can't make a living acting. And so I got a job in a video dating service that my husband had a friend who was a manager there, and she hired me. Worked there for a year and a half, and when I left, I was looking in the back of an actor's magazine for some part-time jobs and saw an ad that said, talent scout, fun job, Beverly Hills. And I didn't even know what it was, but I thought, I'll go and check it out. And I walked into a matchmaking service, and I was so blown away because I had really enjoyed my time at that other dating service. And they hired me on the spot, and I was a recruiter going out to find beautiful single ladies for the upscale paying male members. And I did that for a couple months, and they liked my work so much that they said, why don't you come and work in the office? We need an assistant matchmaker. I started there, and now I'm the head matchmaker here, and I've been at this company for 6 years. This year alone, I had 12 or 13 couples get married or engaged the past year that went by, and this month I've just had so many couples going on hold in relationships. It's been fabulous. It's like love is in the air this spring. It's great.
Well, your book is so much fun to go through. Good date, bad date. I mean, we've all had them if we've lived long enough. We've been through a few of these wonderful experiences that we can either groan and moan about and want to cover our heads with a pillowcase saying, excuse me, I just cannot look at another human being again. This is terrible.
Yeah.
And you have shared a number of your own personal experiences, and one of them that I thought that was really very significant is that you reached a point where you said, forget it. I just don't have time for this anymore. I've had it. And I can identify with that because that happened to me. I'd been single for 11 years before I met my husband. And I just thought, I've had it. No more. Don't give me this stuff about any frogs and finding a prince and all this stuff. I've had it.
Yeah.
And that's when it comes in. And it's something that you bring out in the book. And I just thought it was a point of information that was just fabulous. absolutely fabulous.
Yeah, because when we're put that desperate, a lot of people, single people, they're, I was at the same spot. I mean, at one point you feel kind of desperate. You're desperately looking for that person, and that energy comes out of you, and people can sense it, and it really pushes people away. So when you really let that go and just be the best you can be, live your life, have a great time, and cultivate all your great qualities, keep learning, doing, then the right person is like attracted to you. They come into your life. So you do need to be out there so that you can meet the person. They're not going to come knocking on your door. I say
right.
In the book, unless your drain's clogged or you need a plumber to come over to the house, you know, men aren't going to be knocking on your door, but you need to get out, but not in the way that you're out hunting for a man.
Right.
But
now, hey, guys, you're listening to this from a woman's perspective, but I want you to know something. It's just as good on the other side of the fence, too.
Yeah.
Guys have a different way of looking things to a degree, but you need to know, don't give up hope, those of you that are listening that are males. But let's look at the female side, because there are so many women that'll be out there, and it's like they're in a state of heat, and you cannot get through to them. Relax, for heaven's sakes. There's just something about the image of a female in a caveman outfit that's got a spear in her hand. Maybe it's a lasso. I mean, most guys, I would think, would get that feel, and they'd hightail it. Either that, or they're going to have their Swiss Army knife to know how to cut their way out.
Yeah, well, that's a great point, because I just had an email today from a male client who went on a date last night, and he said the woman, before they even ordered their appetizer, she said, so why are you with the agency? And she says, what are you trying to get out of it? And he says, well, I'm trying to find a relationship. And she says, well, does that include marriage? Because if it doesn't, then it's pointless to even date. And he's like, oh, my goodness, marriage before the appetizers? And so he said to me, she's too aggressively trying to get married. I don't want to, you know, that's it. I don't want to see her again. Whereas if I really don't think you should bring up marriage on a first date. I mean, obviously people are out dating because they would love to meet the right person. So just see if you like each other, and then see if you want to see each other. You don't even know if you want to see each other again, let alone get married.
Oh, isn't that the truth? The
yeah.
One I think that's really the corker that was something brought to my attention was a man who had gone out on a date with a woman, and just like this one, almost before the appetizer, this one was before the main course. I think they did make it through the appetizer.
Mm-hmm.
But she told him how many children she wanted and that she wanted to be married in certain months. I mean, she just nailed everything down. This guy didn't even want to stay through dinner.
No,
he just
they
said,
don't. They'll run for the hills.
Yeah, this is it. There wasn't conversation. And it makes you wonder, what is it culturally that will put this kind of a tension into something where you don't even take time to find out whether you have anything in common, whether you even like the same thing. You might like Donald Duck, and this guy may want Attila the Hun. You know, I mean, it's just, it just doesn't work that way.
No.
So as a matchmaker, give us some information about what it is that you do to, well, be able to make evaluations whether people should even have a cup of tea together.
Mm-hmm. Well, luckily now everyone that comes to me is looking for the right person. They want a long-term relationship or marriage. You know, granted, everybody doesn't have to get married, because maybe I have a 60-year-old who comes in and they've been married twice and had kids and they just want somebody to spend the rest of their life with, but so they don't necessarily have to tie the knot, but definitely everybody who comes wants an exclusive long-term relationship, so that's a great starting point right there. And then I just kind of look at, you know, I'll sit down and with each person and build a profile on them and find out exactly what they're looking for, age range of the person, their looks, preference, lifestyle. Some guys are avid skiers and have a second home in Aspen, or some guys have a sailboat, or they're avid golfers, or some ladies are into art and want to go to Rome and paint. So I kind of look at will their lifestyles fit together. And then I'll call the lady first, tell her all about the guy I have in mind. If she says, yes, he sounds wonderful, then I will give him her information and phone number. So usually, you know, it's then all it is just to see if there's any chemistry. But when people are making these kind of faux pas like this lady did, telling him, you know, before the appetizers that, you know, she wants to get married, I did call her and give her that feedback. I said, you know, nicely, I said, I don't know if you want this feedback, but I'd like to give it to you because it could be helpful in the future, because she could be scaring off a lot of great guys and sabotaging herself. So I do give the feedback and do a little counseling if they want it.
I think it's fascinating that women today, the younger women especially, many times think that, especially if they're American, it's different depending on the cultural background, but they've worked hard, they're supporting themselves, and they think, well, we just put all the cards out on the table in the first 30 seconds and we should be able to make an evaluation. Mm-hmm. Life doesn't work that way.
Yeah, they're treating it like a business almost, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, yes.
Yes.
And that's why a lot of women will tell me, well, because some powerful women will come in with high-powered careers, they make good money, and they say, well, men are intimidated by a powerful woman, by a successful woman. And I've talked to men, and they say, no, we're not. We're not intimidated that she makes a lot of money. We're not intimidated that she's intelligent. What happens is the women take that same characteristics that they have to use in the boardroom or in the business world, the toughness, and then they take it on the date, and they're... A lot of men will say, I don't want to date a woman lawyer because they're interrogating me, they're tough, so they lose the softness. So if a high-powered woman would just remember she's a lady when she's on the date and put the business stuff to the side and just let that man take the lead and go back to kind of the traditional roles, then that would work fine.
Now, you're bringing up something here that there might be women listening to this show, and I'm hearing the men go, yeah. That's what we need. Yo, that's what we need. And many women will say, gee whiz, we've worked so hard for our independence. Why should we have to do this? And I know, I've heard this from women before. But there's nothing wrong with being independent. But I think one of the things women should enjoy is being a female, for heaven's sakes.
Yes.
And I just think it's okay. In fact, it's a little irritating to me when men aren't a little thoughtful. And perhaps it's just a little Victorian stuff that I still like, but I think courtesy, good manners, graciousness, all go a long way on the part of both people.
Absolutely. Yep. I'm married to a Latin man, and he loves the fact that I'm smart and that I have a career, and he wouldn't mind at all if I made a lot more money than him. But he has his place where I'm not bossing him around. You know, I'm not like this tough woman at home. We have the, you know, he's the man, and he likes me to be feminine and sweet, but he is appreciative of all my talents as well. So, you know, we still, even though we're in 2009, it's still man and woman, the way it was thousands of years ago. There's the elements, the basic elements still have to be there for that relationship to be balanced and to work.
And a lot of that, I think, just relates to so many factors in life. There are things that men are typically, not always, because there's always exceptions, but there's that balance, and the male typically wants to be protective of the female.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about those that are overly aggressive in that way. We're not talking about possessiveness. We're talking about someone that really, really does enjoy the woman in his life and wants to protect the woman in his life, and the woman being the nurturer. These are things that nature equipped us with in its various forms for the purpose of having, you know, a healthy compatibility.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you have bring so many, many, many good points out. One of my favorites that I found in your book is the soulmate issue. People say, oh, I want to find my soulmate. And I'll go, well, you got thousands of them.
That's right.
And you say right here in your book, and I'm quoting from it, not all soulmate relationships are meant to be harmonious, and not all soulmate relationships are meant to be long-term. Amen.
Yes.
Gee whiz, why is it we've gotten on this tangent where there's supposed to be this magical something or someone out there that's the one and the only?
Right, because we imagine if I moved to London next week, if I was single, or I moved to Paris or New York, that I'm going to find somebody there that I totally connect with. I'd probably fall in love. There's so many people out there that we would be compatible with, that we would really have a deep connection with. So we just never are going to meet them all, and we couldn't meet them all in one lifetime. But there are many, many people to connect with. But it's great when you do find that one person that you really resonate with, that really has your back, that you can really build a life with and call a soulmate. You know, that's great. I think that's what most people are looking for. But a lot of women also worry. A lot of them will stay in the wrong relationship because
yes.
they think they'll never find anybody else. Oh, but I won't find somebody else, or I'm getting too old, or who else is going to want me, or it's too late, and it's not. It's never too late.
Not when you know there's a few billion people on this planet, and
that's
if you think
right.
that there's only one out of that entire group, you're in for a lonely life.
Yes.
Because
yes.
this world is really, really big, and there's a lot of opportunities. And one of the things that I think is so sad is that there, like you just said, there are many people, male and female, that are in unhealthy marriages, women being battered horribly, men with partners that are just, it's just not healthy. And it's not healthy for either person in that relationship. And yet, maybe because of cultural backgrounds, religious beliefs, whatever, they think, well, this is, I guess, what I've been deemed to have to go through. And that's not the case. And it's the same thing with dating. You meet a klutz, okay, it's all right. Maybe someone else would be very happy with that klutz. This is your opinion. Move on. Make space for somebody else to come in.
Exactly. We can, and the people will say, well, but I love him. And you can say, well, and I tell them, you can still love him, but you don't have to live with him. Someone's
right.
not treating you right if you're not happy, but you say, well, I love him, so I don't want to move out or get a divorce if you're in a terrible situation. You can love the person from afar, but your health and your sanity is more important.
Absolutely,
and
life's too
important.
Short to be in a living hell all the time.
Yes.
But sometimes we have to go through certain lessons. I know I did.
I did.
Man alive, it's, you know, you. I think everyone can say, oh, you think you've got a story. Let me tell you mine.
Mm-hmm.
We can all have something to share. So we're saying this from a position of really caring and heart, and that's what comes across in your book, which I like so much. And I like a statement that you make. Don't look to the world for your validation. Everything you need is within you. And I like how you encourage people to expand their world. Don't sit around feeling sorry for yourself, getting fat and sloppy and ugly. Get active and get out there.
Yes. Now there's all the salsa dancing, and there's, you know, hiking, and there's all these fun active things that you can do, and even meet people. Groups that go do fun things, you know, there's yoga and Pilates and all these fun things that you can pick to do and meet other people, men and women. I think it's great, and keep in shape and look great and be healthy at the same time.
You bring up white lies in your book, and you say, it's so important, we're all going to age, every one of us. Why is it that people lie about their ages?
Yeah, I was thinking about it this morning even. You know, I see it, especially in Los Angeles. It happens all the time, and it's kind of embarrassing, too, because, you know, we can tell. You know, I'm a woman of a certain age, and if I see another woman, I can kind of tell, you know, if she's my age or older, but she's, you know, saying, well, I'm 35, but, you know, she's, you know, not a day under 50, or, you
mm-hmm,
know, it's like,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't you rather look fabulous for 50 than, like, oh, you look really bad for 35, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think Oprah said once something. She says, I'm proud of my age. She says, lying about your age is denying who you are, because all these years that we've lived and experienced, these are our experiences. This is our life. And to pretend that none of it happened, and to pretend that we're something we're not, I just think it's sad and kind of embarrassing. I know, you know, everybody wants to look great, and we're just going to have to grow up and accept the fact that we're meant to age, and we are aging, but we can always be our best at whatever age we are.
Mm-hmm. And something you have found because of your working with people, sometimes a younger man may be very suitable for an older woman, and you know, an older man, there may be a younger woman that you have that may really fit him. You're not so concerned about age as you are about the compatibility. Am I right?
Well, You're right about me, but unfortunately the service that I work for is specialized, and the men pay a lot of money to meet very attractive, slender ladies, and the men here all want younger than themselves. So that gets to be tricky as well, especially if a man is older, if he's maybe in his 50s but still wants kids. That means he doesn't usually want to date a woman who's over maybe 35.
Mm-hmm.
So that age is it's a big thing here for me. It's tricky, and I try to get the guys just think women, we lose all of our energy after a certain age. I've had guys say, well, I don't want to, all women 40-year-olds go to bed at 8:30, and I'm like, well,
I'm at 9.
Let me tell you something. Yeah, 8:45. You know, but I think I put in this book that, I mean, my aunt is like 62. She works a 10-hour workday. She plays tennis on the weekends and golf. She has a fiance. She goes on trips. She's a size 4. She looks great. She's not slowing down, and I think if it just depends on the person. I don't think we should be putting, categorizing people by age or anything, limiting people. It depends on the person and how they've taken care of themselves and their interests.
Well, that's true, but you're also, what you're saying about someone wanting children.
Yeah, no, that's a different, that's understandable.
That is a whole, that's a whole different thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I find it so interesting how in the Western culture especially, there are all these labels, and because women are living so much longer, I mean, let's face it, for so many generations, we were lucky if we made it to 30.
Yeah.
They were dead.
Right.
I mean, most of them were pregnant every single year of their lives from the time they were 14 or 15 until they died. And by the time they were 30, maybe most of their teeth were gone. They were saggy and baggy because they were out in the fields working, and the life was very, very hard. Well, women today, my goodness, you can see a woman in her 60s and she looks like she's in her 40s if you take a look at some of the old movies.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and the women in Afghanistan, if you see a 30-year-old, they look up 50. They're all weathered and the teeth are gone. It's really bad. Yeah. Yeah. So we're very lucky here with all the, I just went yesterday and had a little Botox and a little Juvederm in my laugh lines, and I'm looking and it's like, geez, I just turned the clock back on my face about 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So there's a lot we can do,
There's a lot we can
good.
Do. But being aware, and this goes for men too, because I've known of men that have done the exact same thing. The reality is, though, when you're looking for a partner and you're really sincere, it's one thing if you just want to have a gigolo or you just want to have a playmate. That's fine.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
if you're really looking for a partner, character and integrity and common interests, things that are really going to be important, because regardless of what's portrayed in Hollywood movies, life is far from being perfect, and sometimes you get into some pretty messy situations, and if you have someone that says, gee whiz, if you don't have your makeup on and your hair fixed before you get up in the morning, or before I open my eyes, I don't want to look at you, you got the wrong person in your life, because there are days, I can guarantee you, you're going to look like something a cat's drug in, and the partnership, and it could be with both partners, but you have to be able to have someone that is going to really love you for who you are.
Yes, the friendship. Like, my husband and I were best friends. That's first. I mean, we really like each other. And so he tells me, he doesn't even want me to get Botox. He goes, just leave the cracks. I love you. You look great. just leave them. He says, I'll love you when you're just old and wrinkly till the day I die, he says. It's so cute. He says, well, I'm going to freshen him up, but he doesn't care. It's so cute. So, yeah, you need somebody that loves you so much that, of course, he doesn't want me to get all out of shape. And, he likes me to look good, but I know that basic, the foundation is there.
Mm-hmm.
I can wake up looking however, and he's not going to reject me.
Why is it that men, they're much more visual? Women are not so visual. There was something in a Playboy magazine somebody told me about years ago that was done, and it was a questionnaire sent out to women, and the looks of a man that wasn't a big deal. If a guy had a pop belly, that wasn't such a big thing. But with the guys, when it came to the women, they didn't want their women to have a pot belly or whatever.
Oh, no. I had a client who was at least 50 pounds overweight, a man, and he said he wanted a woman with a rock-hard body like Madonna. and he wouldn't take anything less. And I thought, but, and then at one point I had to tell him, but the ladies are saying no to your description because of your weight. And then but it helped because now he's been working out really hard at the gym with the trainer and he's lost about 20 pounds.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, men, I say to the ladies, wouldn't it be wonderful to have the self-esteem of a man? A man can, you know, have, like you said, have a pot belly and look in the mirror. Oh, I look fantastic. They're never asking us, do I look fat in these pants? Or how do I look? You know, they just feel so confident. They can look like Danny DeVito, but think they want to, you know, attract, they deserve Heidi Klum as their mate. You know. So they're visual. That's how they're hardwired. To find use, to reproduce, it just goes back thousands of years in their wiring, in their brain. For
mm-hmm.
women, the most important thing for us is to be taken care of, to be protected. So that's why a lot of women want a taller man, a man that's bigger than herself. Humor is very important to us, intelligence, something that will show us that this man can take care of us and support us and support and protect the family. So he doesn't have to be the best-looking guy. Girls in the 20s, they usually still want a hot guy. They're looking for the Brad Pitt, George Clooney look-like. They
mm-hmm.
get in the 30s, they say, well, I've dated enough, that they tend to be the bad boys, the real good-looking ones. I've been hurt enough by the bad boys. He doesn't have to be that good looking. By the time they get to their 40s and 50s, the women tell me, I just want a nice guy. I don't care. He doesn't have to have his hair. He can be a few pounds overweight. He could, you know, I don't care. I just want somebody who's loyal, honest, and nice. So that's the way it goes.
You have a quote in here by the Dalai Lama that I really liked. Even if the 5 billion human beings, it's 6 billion now, that inhabit the earth become millionaires, without inner development there cannot be peace or lasting happiness. Some people may be very rich, but we often find they're not happy at all. Affection, love, and compassion are some of the most important elements in our life. Again, that was a statement by the Dalai Lama. I think that that is so real, and that is what we need to have integrity with. What is it we really want in a partner? What's one of your funniest stories about matchmaking?
Oh boy, there's so many of them. I could tell you one that I put in my first book, Excuse Me, Your Soulmate Is Waiting, that in the back where I have stories about things not to do, this and about being honest. It's hard sometimes to tell somebody if you meet them on a date and you're not attracted that you don't want to see them again. Well, this one couple, I had matched them up. They met at a restaurant, and they were sitting there and having a glass of wine and so something to eat. And then this is what the gentleman told me, the feedback the next day. He says, she got up to go to the bathroom, and, you know, 10 minutes went by. She didn't come back, and I started to get worried, and 20 minutes went by and she wasn't there, and I got up and I asked the manager if he'd seen her, and I didn't know where she lived because we'd met at the restaurant, but I called her phone and it, you know, just went to voicemail. And so finally after half an hour or 45 minutes he went home and he's called her, and so I started calling her and emailing her, and she wouldn't respond to me. So I thought, finally I emailed her and I said, look, Dana, I said, I'm extremely worried about you, and I do have your address, so if I don't hear from you in the next 24 hours, I'm going to be calling the police. Well, she got right on the phone and called me immediately and says, I'm sorry, but I was looking at Dan, and he had some strange dental work in his teeth, and it was really turning me off, and I couldn't even look at him. So I just got up and pretended to go to the bathroom, and I left.
Ah.
And I thought, oh, my God, I thought, well, it was sad and frustrating, but funny. So anyway, that's a don't do. Don't do that on a date. You know, it's get through the date, and then tell the matchmaker or tell the person that you just didn't have the right romantic chemistry, but they're a wonderful person. You know, so
mm-hmm.
that was kind of bizarre. I've had girls here in LA. You know, I've had girls try to get. This happens all the time. They're trying to get guys to buy them Gucci purses or $900 shoes.
That's amazing to me. What woman would have that audacity? I mean, you meet somebody and you expect them to buy you $50,000 worth of diamonds just because you said hello?
Yeah, yeah. So I have to do a lot of that coaching about that, too. It's like, don't hit the guy up for a handbag on the first date, please. There's that obsession. That's what the thing with the Dalai Lama, his comments. I mean, what is it that you're looking for? Are you looking for a wonderful soulmate that to be with, to have a wonderful life with, or are you just looking for some shoes and some handbags to fill your life with, and you're going to be alone? amazing. They don't even get past the first date because the guy's turned off. So it's happening a lot.
Well, I'll tell you what. Good Date, Bad Date is a fun book. It is an insightful book. And Marla Martinson, you have done a wonderful job with it. From a matchmaker, yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's her guide to where the boys are for you gals and how you can find them. And what you need to do to be aware of, you know, there is something called a little bit of this etiquette thing when you're dating. At least it should be there. If you haven't been taught that, then get the book so you'll know. Now, Marla has a website. Marla, it's marlamartinson.com. That's MARLAMARTENSON.com. Marla, it's been a delight having you as a guest again.
Thank you. Continued
success in your fascinating career.
Thank you, Donna.
You can do this until you're 500, you know.
I could. Yes. I plan to.
Have a wonderful life and a wonderful day.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
This is Donna Sebo. Yes. Good Date, Bad Date. Marla Martins.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Hey, if you'd like to call me and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, this is the telephone number to call in to, 888-815-9756. That's toll-free from anywhere in the world, 888-815-9756. And all I need from you is your first name or your initial. After that, let me find out what area you're calling in from. I always like to know that piece of information as well. And then let me tell you what I perceive. After that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything you like, and there's no such thing as a dumb question. So give me a buzz if you'd like to chat with me during this next half hour, 888-815-9756. Tomorrow, a very meaningful subject to me, in as much as my life has been touched by it, not just through clients that I've worked with, but also in my own family. And that is the subject of alcoholism. Alcoholism is devastating, And it is something that we are learning more and more about every day, but there are people, millions of people around the world that have this horrible addiction, and they try everything sometimes to be able to cure themselves of it. But Roy Escapa is going to be calling in from Europe tomorrow. He has put out a publication, The Cure for Alcoholism. This is one of the most significant publications that I've had cross my desk regarding this particular issue, and I invite you to tell your friends, and if you can, listen to the show, because it may help someone that you know, someone that you love, that is dealing with an issue that is a very difficult one. Now, next week, we're going to be talking with some fabulous people, Solartopia. We're going to go into a bit of fantasy on Monday with Harvey Wasserman. We're going to be talking about energy and various ways of development for that. Raising the Intuitive Child, Tara Patterson, a mom who has a very intuitive child, is going to be with us. Then Healing Young Brains, Ed Castro, is going to be with us because there are new areas of research. I've talked with Mr. Castro about 6 or 7 years ago discussing research that they had discovered and how we could get rid of Ritalin. And today he's got even more information to share. And then Teresa Tapp, one of my favorite people, is going to be on the air with us. And then a very special woman. Well, she's calling in from Korea. Her name is Jen Robinson. This is a woman whose life story is absolutely incredible. So we have all of these wonderful people that are going to be a part of the show next week. So I hope that you will make a note of it and be sure to tune in and tell your friends, because there's so many good people out there in the world that are making a difference, one movement, one action at a time. We all can make a difference in our own way, and that all those actions, all of those deliberate steps of making the world a better place actually helps to build a momentum, and then change can occur. It's really very special. Donna Sebo here, 888-815-9756, if you would like to chat. Now, I do have this chocolate recipe I'm going to share with you today. We weren't able to get to it yesterday, so just get that pad of paper and pen handy. We're going to be talking about, let's see, I've got it right here, white chocolate ice cream in a chocolate cookie cup. Yum. Oh, it's so easy to make, too. All right, let's just bring ourselves up to date with a few points of information. If you are a person that travels and you are concerned about having good drinking water, you don't want to do what my husband and me had to do in Russia when we went there in the early 90s. It was 1992, in fact. We actually had to carry gallons of water with us. Later on, I'd met somebody from the Worldwide Health Organization, and when I told them what we had to do, water's pretty heavy if you have to lug it around in gallon containers, because we hadn't drank water anywhere. They said, whatever you do, do not brush your teeth in any of the water that comes out of the faucet in any part, whether it was Moscow, Kiev, Minsk, St. Petersburg. You don't do it. It's polluted. So we had to carry our own. Well, I learned that with the Worldwide Health Organization, this gentleman said he carried a small vial, it was a glass vial, and he put Clorox in it. And wherever he went, he'd get a pitcher, and it could hold a couple of quarts of water, and he'd put 8 drops of Clorox in that water, and it would just sit overnight, and he said then he could drink the water. And he said, I've traveled all over the world, I've been in some of the filthiest environments that you could ever imagine, and he said, I've never gotten sick. Now, you could do the same thing. The concentration of solution with iodine might be different, but he said the Clorox actually would evaporate out, whereas the iodine left a taste in the water that he didn't care for. Well, it's not practical to lug around gallons of water, and it also can be quite expensive, not only uncomfortable to work with, but you can, no matter where you go. If you're in the United States, Europe, Africa, it doesn't make any difference. There is a brand new item, and it's called a SteriPen Journey. Now, it costs $100, it's battery-powered, and you can purify 2 pints of water at a time in 90 seconds. And what you do, you take this handheld ultraviolet light emitter, and put it into a bottle or another container, and the light neutralizes microbes so they cannot reproduce and cause illness. So for those of you who are out camping, and you may think, well, it's okay, I'm in this wonderful place, it's in the outdoors, I can drink the water. Well, I've got to tell you, that's not such a good thing. We had a friend of ours who went hiking up into the Rockies and ended up with parasites internally because he drank water out of this beautiful, beautiful waterfall, thinking that the water was totally pure. It wasn't. Remember, deer and other creatures may poop in that water, and you just don't necessarily want to drink it. So having something like this is really handy. It creates the right harmony in the water. You can drink it, and only in 90 seconds. It is battery-operated. It's lightweight. It's compact. You can take it with you anywhere in the world. And you can go to their website. It's steripen.com. That's steripen.com. And then another item that I found out about that I just thought was amazing, it's called an Easy Bloom Plant Sensor. And I don't know about you. I enjoy gardens, and I really appreciate all the efforts people put into it. In fact, I've got some gardening tips today I was going to share with you. But lots of times, you may not have the knowledge about the soil in the area that you may want to work in. Well, this Easy Bloom Plant Sensor is really good. You put it in the ground, and you leave it there for a day, and then you can plug it into your computer. It only is $60, and the Easy Bloom will match your local soil and weather conditions to a database that will tell you which perennials and annuals will thrive in your garden and what your existing plants may need in the way of nutrition. How easy is that? That is marvelous. These people that come up with this technology, to me, they're just geniuses. It's easybloom.com. That's the website for this fascinating, fascinating item. Also, there is an Eton FR-160 radio. How many times have you found you didn't have batteries, your radio unit, which we should always have in a radio unit? We, in the Pacific Northwest, sometimes will have power outages because of storms that come through. If you happen to hear my broadcast when I was back east, and this was a little bit over a week ago, we went up to a facility that got hit by lightning. I mean, your power can be affected. And whether Mother Nature does do her particular numbers every once in a while. And sometimes you can't use a recharger, and it might even be dangerous, depending on your circumstances, to plug in somewhere. Well, this radio is powered by a solar cell and can pick up AM, FM, and dedicated weather bands. And it also offers a built-in flashlight. When the day darkens, turning a hand crank will recharge the $30 battery that's in this machine. And it can also charge a cell phone through the USB connection. Fascinating stuff. It's called Eton FR-160 Radio, and you can go to etoncorp.com, etoncorp.com, to find out more about it. I just thought I'd share those little items with you. I'm always interested in what things like that, because I've been in enough various situations through life where having that kind of technology would be very, very useful. So just wanted to pass it along to you. Give me a buzz if you want to chat, 888-815-9756. Okay, I told you I had a chocolate recipe. If you've got that pad of paper and pen handy, here it goes. This is what you're going to need. Now for the ice cream, yes, you're going to make your own ice cream. What you're going to need is one egg yolk, 3 tablespoons of superfine sugar, and if you don't have superfine sugar, if you have a Cuisinart or anything like that, or if you have one of those little grinders, if you've used it for anything, just put some slice of bread in there and just let it grind the bread up, and that'll take anything that's been used in there before out. And then put your sugar in, and then you can just grind it. It makes it extremely fine. So that's just a Donna tip. You're going to need 5.5 ounces of white chocolate. And I'm going to say go for quality white chocolate if you possibly can. It really makes a difference in the taste. You use cheaper chocolate, and it's going to have a waxy taste to it. You're going to need 1 1/4 cups of milk. That's whole milk. And 2/3 of a cup of heavy cream. Now, that's for the ice cream. Your cookie cups, the chocolate cookie cups, What you're going to need is one egg white, 4 tablespoons of superfine sugar, 2 tablespoons of all-purpose flour, and that needs to be sifted, 2 tablespoons of unsweetened cocoa, sifted. Remember, you want good quality cocoa, and 2 tablespoons of butter that will need to be melted. Now, all your ingredients should be at room temperature. What you need are 2 cooking sheets, and you want to put some baking parchment on each of those sheets. Now, to make the ice cream, what you do is you beat your egg yolks, and your sugar. You break the chocolate into pieces while that's beating, and in a double boiler with 3 tablespoons of milk, and you just let it melt very nicely and just gently whisk it. Now, you want to get that milk heated until it's almost boiling, and then you want to pour that mixture into the eggs, and you want to pour it in slowly because you don't want to curdle your eggs. And you place this mixture over a pan of simmering water, and you cook, stirring until it gets nice and thick. In fact, when you dip a spoon in, you'll notice that it coats the back of a wooden spoon. And you beat in your chocolate, cover with a dampened baking parchment sheet, and let it cool. Now, the next step is you whip the cream until it's just holding its shape, and then you fold it gently into this cooled custard. And then you transfer this mixture to a freezer container and freeze the mixture for 1 to 2 hours until it's frozen about a half inch from the sides. Then you scrape it into a bowl and you beat it again until it's smooth, and then you refreeze it until it's firm. Now, to make these cookie cups, this is wonderful. You just beat the egg white and the sugar together, and then you put in your flour and your cocoa. Let that beat well, and then the butter. And you'll take 1 tablespoon of the mixture on one sheet and spread it out to about 5 inches round. And you'll bake these cookies in a preheated oven at 400 degrees for 4 to 5 minutes. And you remove them and then immediately put them over an upturned cup. That's how they turn into the cup, because they'll still be soft. You let it set and then let it cool on a wire rack. And you're going to do this to make 6 individual cups. And you don't want to do them all at the same time, because you're not going to be able to move quickly enough with each of them. They'll cool and they'll end up staying flat. So it's doing them 1 at a time, 4 to 5 minutes each. And then your ice cream will be in the freezer, will be nice and smooth, and you scoop it out, and you will have your cookies in your cookie cups. And if you want to prepare them in advance, and you want to put them in the freezer once everything is put together, you can do that. And then if you want to garnish it with some super rich chocolate, just drizzling it over the top would be great, or maybe using chocolate shavings. It is a wonderful dish, and it will just be enjoyed by everyone, including yourself. White chocolate ice cream in a cookie cup. Donna Sebo here. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. There is the stimulus package that we hear a great deal about. And for those of you in business and for those of you who are wanting to know little points of information, I thought I'd share a couple of points that have come to my attention. There are 5 tax credits for individuals and families. One is a work credit, and this provision is going to be effective between 2009 and 2010. Now, what this does, it provides a $400 credit per worker and an $800 credit per double earner couple. People making less than making $75,000 or less, and couples making $150,000 or less would be eligible for the credit. The credit is phased out for higher income taxpayers. Most low income earners will qualify for the credit because it is refundable, meaning people can receive it even if they owe no tax. Also, don't expect to get a separate special check mailed to you like last year's economic stimulus payment. Instead, the credit is going to be paid through a reduction of income tax withholdings that begins as of this past spring, 2009. Now, employers and individual business owners who write paychecks for themselves should use the new with IRS issued payroll withholding tables that incorporate the credit. So I thought I would just share those points with you. Also, there is a deduction for new automobiles. Eligible taxpayers who purchase a new car, light vehicle, recreational vehicle, or motorcycle in 2009 will be permitted to deduct state and local sales taxes and applicable excise taxes. And this deduction applies to individual filers earning less than $125,000 or joint filers making less than $250,000. So those are just a couple of points. I've got some others that have crossed my desk that I'm going to be sharing with you as well. Donna Sebo here, 888-815-9756. There are so many things going on in the world that often we feel like we are on a whirlwind and we wonder if things are ever going to be slowing down. Well, I guess the reality is things are spinning just as great a speed as they always have. I think we're just much more aware. And, of course, with technology, things keep to just popping up at an amazing speed. I'm always fascinated with the new toys, gimmicks, different devices that are being invented by very resourceful people. And often I get excited about the toys. But I have to think, is this something I'm really going to use? And if the answer is not likely, or I'm going to wait for a different model, then that is usually when I will bypass it. But if you're like me, you just go, how does someone keep up all of it with all of this? It's not easy, and I don't know personally anybody who does. I wanted to share some information with you, some good news, and that is that the federal conservation measures signed into law in March designate 2 million acres as protected wilderness and created a research program to study ocean acidification. People are really stepping up to the plate, and they're saying we've got to find out more about the planet and how we can make a difference, because we do have an impact, but we need to know what we can do to improve things. And also, there's a straw house that had a gravel foundation and plaster walls. It was designed as low-cost housing for earthquake-prone regions. It was tested at an earthquake lab at the University of Nevada in Reno. It survived shaking twice as violent as the most intense tremor on records. So we just have all of this wonderful thinking going on, and it can really make a difference in how we live our life. And something, you know, we hear about overeating and all kinds of things with obesity. Well, they said this year the number of people hospitalized for eating disorders grew by 18% between 1999 and 2006, according to the Federal Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality. And hospitalization for children under 12 with such disorders more than doubled. I wonder if they ever try figuring out what the root cause is. Maybe we just need to change our thinking about some things. What do you think? This is Donna Sebo. We're out of time. Remember, always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Enjoy this wonderful day of life. It is your gift. Open it up and savor all of its goodness. Donna Sebo here will be here, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.